Everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
No one's going to join me?
No, I don't even care enough to boo them.
Oh my goodness. So welcome everybody to the most interactive post-Raw experience available on the internet, the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio, where we have at least one New Day fan who's excited for the things that they've pulled off the last couple days. We've had a lot go down. Last night being the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, tonight's Raw beginning the King of the Ring tournament where they're going to have a special event tomorrow night. Lots of things going down in wrestling, despite the fact that there doesn't seem to be a lot of excitement buzzing with a lot of people. But we want to know what all of you out there got to say, what you're thinking about, what's going down right now. We're going to have the phone lines opening up around 11:30 to allow you to call in with your actual voice heard here on Mega Powers Radio. Get yourself in line. We already got a few people waiting patiently. The number to dial is area code 760-512-7247. You can also join in by Skype, hit the little Skype icon at the top of our broadcast page. But if you're impatient, in the meantime, you can hang out in the chat room with all the cool cats hanging out in there. Shout out to the people who got here nice and early, five times combo, Ferris419, Wazili and Silent Wind of Doom, and Guest 5073, wherever you are. Thanks for coming. But you should register with blogtalkradio.com. Get yourself a nice fancy name so I can give you a shout out and hang out with all those other people in the chat room there. We also have Twitter opened at Raw Post Show, the Mega Maniacs Facebook group. Lots of ways get your voice heard. In the meantime, though, let's get the conversation started with the hosts of Mega Powers Radio. My name is Mike Payton, station director here and host of this show every single Monday night. Joining me this evening, I have from across the pond, Mr. Sean Wanker.
So King of the Ring, definitely a gimmick. Don't care what you say. Gimmick.
Okay, good luck with that.
Go on the Mega Powers, Mega Maniacs fan page, vote gimmick, get me an extra 20 points. Do it now.
Doesn't matter what they vote, you're not going to get the points, but
I'll be in third place then. Would I be in third place or fourth?
Does it really matter? Because you're not going to get it. Also with us here is the host of Addicted Anime, Unanimous Decision MMA in Waco Rants, Mr. Steven Waco.
Heyo.
And Mr. Tony Mango, the headman of Smart Count Moment and Fanboys Anonymous with Shaken Tony.
Yo, hey.
All right. Fucking weak-ass intros. What the hell is on your guys' minds tonight after Raw? Tony?
I barely paid attention to Raw this week. I've been figuring out something that Google's fucking over the websites for, and that took the majority of my attention. But from what I did see, King of the Ring's awesome. The rest of the Raw, meh, standard.
Wago?
I'm pretty much in agreement with Tony. There was nothing that was overly offensive on the show, but the wrestling was fantastic for the King of the Ring. I love that they're bringing that back. I'm glad that they went with a direction I didn't think they was going to go. I said on the Mega Maniacs group, which everyone should join if they're not a part, that it was to set up Sheamus versus Dolph Ziggler, but looks like they're not doing that, so hats off to them. I don't really care about Payback, but King of the Ring, yay.
It like an RKO or an SKO, kind of came out of nowhere, this whole King of the Ring thing.
Yeah, and by the way, I loved Seth's... fucking, hey guys, see what I did there? Seth KO.
Get it? Joey, you get it? Get it?
Like the only way that would have been is if he dragged it out longer.
I like how he didn't really explain it. He just went, get it? An SKO, like a Seth KO. Like he only said like half of what it is. Sean, what'd you come away with from tonight?
That my team actually showed up and performed well, even though King of the Ring is stipulation, quotation marks. But this King of the Ring is awesome, and all hail King Barrett.
You're really not pulling for Neville?
No, it's going to be King Barrett all the way. It's a bit early to put King of the Ring on Neville, I reckon.
Well, since this will be our only opportunity to really make predictions before the show, who are your guys' predictions for who we've seen move on into the semifinals?
I'm right now leaning towards Neville. I think they're really behind him. I wouldn't do it quite yet. I'd rather he be a guy that doesn't even... He wins a lot, but he doesn't really get a huge accomplishment until, say, late this year or early 2016. I'm just worried that if they push him too fast, they'll get bored of him, stop pushing him, and then he'll end up fucked like everyone else.
So that went to Doom, bringing up a good point. What will Neville do about the spiders?
What? I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. Fuck.
Has he cut a single promo since being on the main roster?
I believe tonight was his first one, the inset promo he had while coming in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he hasn't cut any of that, you know, he actually went out, grabbed the microphone, and talked, right?
I don't think we've heard his voice at all. Because remember he came out to answer that open challenge?
Yeah, the John Cena one?
Wait, was it John Cena? No, he faced, what didn't he face, like, Seth Rollins? That's who he faced. He made a surprise appearance against Seth Rollins. And he just came out and he was just silent the whole time while Seth Rollins was berating him.
Well, that's the right move to do with him. He's a guy you don't need to talk very much. You hear guys talk about hiding weaknesses and pushing strengths all the time. He's very much a Rob Van Dam where you can't put him out there on the stick because he's going to blow. But, hey, you can have him do some really cool moves that people go wow at.
I thought he did pretty good tonight, actually. I mean, it may have taken him like 15 takes. We don't know. But might have had a jump in Jeff Farmer here or like the first one.
He's been working on this since he made his main roster debut. It's been weeks, and they're like, all right, we got like half of one of those sentences.
In fact, he actually used the dialogue, I'm going full force. They had to cut it out 5 times.
So, do you want to get win the King of the Ring? Yep.
Oh gosh. Everyone make their predictions for this. Sean, did you get your prediction? You started it off. You say Barrett.
Yep, Barrett. And Adrian Neville's gonna be in the final.
Tony, did you say?
No, I didn't, but I think it's gonna be Barrett and Neville in the finals, and I think to kind of counteract what happened at Extreme Rules, you're gonna see Barrett win.
And I'm actually backing you up too. I think we are going to see Barrett and Neville. Surprising difference from when we thought it was gonna be Sheamus and Ziggler. I expect Ziggler to interfere with that Sheamus match and have him get eliminated in one way or another, allowing Neville to advance. And who the hell Barrett is?
Beats the shit out of R-Truth.
Oh, yeah. No fucking hell. If they just give R-Truth a random victory here, I will be so fucking pissed.
I'd love to see some interference from a spider.
Did you ever see that video of like that guy who puts like a giant costume on his dog to make it look like a spider? And then has it like run through the park scaring like people.
I haven't seen that, but it sounds amazing.
It's fucking fantastic.
Like, he looks like a giant tarantula or something.
Yeah, he made like a tarantula cosplay for his dog and then just had it chase people around the park in the dark.
They should have that come out against R-Truth and he could just like, you know, run out of the fucking arena and lose by countout. I'm afraid I've got some good news. It's not a real spider.
Oh, gosh. I have to give one shout out tonight. JBL really stepped up his game and made me like him for a lot of reasons tonight. First off, he made a lot of Game of Thrones references. He made not just one, but 2 references to kings from Game of Thrones with Joffrey Baratheon and Aegys the Mad King. And he also was just fucking hilarious towards the end there when he's like, option D! Oh, I'm going to keep talking. Follow me on the app as we go to commercial. JBL, we're not going to commercial. Oh, well, I'm going to keep talking then, damn it.
Okay, it's like, D.
Option D, he's like, that should be his new like gimmick name.
Yeah, instead of 3MB, option D.
I am option D.
And I don't know the rest of the lyrics from that.
Yeah, we'll give that up. Leave it up to the people who handle that kind of stuff. Let's break down some of the things that happened here on Raw. We had our opening segment, What a Surprise, was an authority-themed talking segment. Seth Rollins comes out with what I'm calling J&J and K security. Yeah? Think it'll stick?
Nah.
Okay. Well, they were bragging about the victory at Extreme Rules. Seth makes a really clever quip calling about his move, the SKO, out of nowhere. And Seth doing that forced, cheesy laugh that he does. Fantastic. they tease some more drama between Seth and Kane. Eventually, Randy Orton interrupts, saying that he wants another title shot. Roman Reigns comes out, saying that he wants a title shot. Randy Orton blows Roman Reigns a kiss, and somehow we end up with an app vote and a tag team main event. Playa. So,
makes sense.
How about that first segment, eh?
That first segment fucking bombed. I was bored out of my mind. Sometimes I think I just pass on segments because I'm so used to being treated to the same shit each week. And sometimes I think it's boring, so I'm interested to see what everyone else thinks, because I totally got zoned out of this.
Sad thing, it was a lot shorter than these authority promo opening segments usually are. They tend to last like half an hour sometimes. I think this only was like maybe 15 minutes. Felt like a goddamn hour, though.
I think an issue with Seth Rollins is he's a good promo, but for that role, he doesn't fit very well. And I don't think many people fit very well if you do it every week. I mean, Triple H got old in that role. And then when he decided that 2014 was 2003 again, he started that shit again. So I'm just kind of sick of a heel opening the show every week. I'm actually somewhat missing John Cena's shitty, cheesy promo at the start of the night.
Well, that doesn't make two of us. Yeah, I think the problem isn't that we need more of John Cena's promos. It's that we just need them to cut these short a little bit.
How about starting with a match? What a fucking novel concept, huh?
Yeah, or even just start off with something that isn't a promo in the ring about the authority or about a feud that's happening. Fuck, have like if you need to have a promo, make it something that's not setting up the main event of the night. Make it something completely random so nobody's expecting it to, you know, go that way. Because everybody's always going, well, okay, now we've got the couple of main event guys that are coming out here. They're going to set up a tag match because it's always a tag match. I mean, come on. And then we know, okay, well, then right after that, they're going to go to a commercial and Michael Cole's going to be like, well, there you have it. That's the main event of the night. It's whatever, whatever. We're going to be right back and with Mid-Carter. But why not have a mid-carder start it off? And, you know, how odd would it be if the very beginning of Raw was Renee Young in the middle of the ring interviewing Fandango and had nothing to do with the main event?
I wouldn't be okay with that. And when I said John Cena should open the show, I say I'd prefer it over what we get now. And I think the best start for any pro wrestling show, be it a television show or an indie, is a strong opening match where the babyface wins, gets everyone in a good mood, and everyone's attention's drawn. Especially a guy like Neville, especially with the entrance that he has now, he'd be perfect to put on the start of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could even start with having the heel already in the ring, and the main focus at the beginning of that show is Neville's badass entrance. Watch him do his flippy flips, and everyone's happy.
You know who's going to have an amazing feud someday? Neville and Kalisto.
I think matches. I don't know about a feud.
Yeah, they're gonna have some great matches. I don't even think they'll have a feud. I think they'll just have.
Well, the feud is gonna be a series of matches. I'm saying these guys are gonna have like three or four pay per views where they might curtain jerk it, but they're gonna like steal the show during that time. It's gonna be a lot like Rey Mysterio and Eddie were in WCW 1997.
I don't see it happening. I think they're gonna be kept separate for the most part, especially since neither of them I see as a heel.
Who's Eddie Guerrero in that scenario?
I guess it would be Neville.
By default, since he doesn't have a mask?
Yep.
Well, it's not even just that. You know, Ray, like, he did a lot of, like, crazy moves, but he wasn't, like, a guy who, like, just went to the top corner and did a move. Like, he was more like Hurricane Ranas and shit like that. So it's the Lucha style versus, like, the, I don't know, the Americanized high-flying style, I guess.
That's true.
Anyway, any other thoughts about this opening segment anyone wants to throw out there?
Just a chance of a thing? No? God damn, that's going to be a thing for a while, isn't it?
What's that?
The Justin Bieber chance?
Oh, the Justin Bieber chance?
I hope not.
I think they'll burn out after a week. Maybe they'll like resurface whenever they're in like certain towns, like in New York or Chicago, but I don't think that's going to go on for too long.
Reigns was super happy about that, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It was like, what about that Justin Bieber chant? They're saying it.
That's totally over.
Like smiling ear to ear.
Roman Reigns has been breaking a lot lately, like he did in that that match at Extreme Rules when Big Show got on the crotch shot spot.
That's actually like, I mean, I didn't have a problem with Roman Reigns before, but that's making me like him even more, that he's just kind of like laughing at these stupid things that are happening.
Well, I've noticed the fans are somewhat getting more supportive of them. I'm very glad, and I think WWE's taken the right approach of him recently. They're kind of like keeping him back a little bit. If you notice tonight, he didn't get the hot tag. Randy Orton got the hot tag.
Silent Wind of Doom is saying that Roman Reigns does indeed still have the contacts and that we've just gotten used to it.
All right, WWE's right again.
When are we just going to learn, guys?
Like, seriously, we do question a bunch of shit and we have just become numb to it and accepted it.
I knew that it was a good idea for Hornswoggle to be Vince's son.
By the way, that app vote that we got, it was to determine the main event for Payback. It was either going to be Seth Rollins will face Roman Reigns or Randy Orton or Roman Reigns and Randy Orton.
Or
now, peace later. The crummy thing is that they already were advertising at the local area that Payback is happening in, that it was going to be a triple threat match. So they were going to look awfully stupid if the fans voted for anything else, huh?
Well, it's a good job that these polls aren't fixed. It was an obvious choice anyway, so they didn't have nothing to worry about.
I mean, who was going to pick the not triple threat? Like,
given the scenario, if they did just for some reason pick Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins again, they would have just fucking thrown any old school.
You know, I'm shocked they haven't gotten to the point where, like, you know how, like, when we get to choose the gimmick of a match, they pretty much give you the same options? That they haven't done that with the people? Like, they haven't been like, so, who is he gonna face? Roman Reigns, or Roman Reigns, or Roman Reigns?
No, you know what they would do? They would try to mask it by being like, Randy Orton, or the Apex Predator, or the Viper.
Yeah, the only guy I think they could have got away with that was Mick Foley. they actually did that, didn't they?
Yeah, for Cyber Sunday or something like that, I think they did
Tuesday,
that.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, one of those.
I was hoping for Dude Love. We got Mankind.
Mankind?
I never said that.
We had a match, first round for the King of the Ring tournament, between Bad News Barrett and Dolph Ziggler. And surprise, surprise, Dolph Ziggler did not advance as we were expecting him to go up against Sheamus. Sheamus interrupts, distracting Ziggler, allowing Bad News Barrett to hit the bullhammer, get the pin, and advance into the semifinals tomorrow night. I'm happy for Bad News Barrett. Any thoughts about this this match, or the fact that Bad News Barrett's advancing, or the continuing development between the Sheamus and Ziggler feud?
God damn it, R-Truth.
God damn it, R-Truth.
Moment R-Truth.
What's up? I'm going to give WWE credit. They've somewhat got me into this Sheamus versus Dolph Ziggler feud. I'm even more happy that they're not going to be the end result of the King of the Ring, but more so they're just using the King of the Ring as a tool to heat the feud up, especially since I don't want to see King Sheamus a second time.
Especially, how would they put a crown on that fucking hairdo he has?
Yeah, that would be a little weird. So I'm happy with the approach they're taking. As far as the end result of this feud, I think Dolph Ziggler is going to come out looking the weakest, which is a shame after they made him unnecessarily kiss Sheamus' arse.
Maybe instead of wearing the crown on his head, he'll wear it upside down on his chin to block that horrible, whatever the fuck you call that, like, goatee.
I actually prefer the goatee to the what's on his fucking head. I actually like how he's got all the little bits braided and shit.
Yeah, I think his look is neat. I mean, I wouldn't put it on myself, but I think it's cool for something unique and a wrestler to have.
I think it's dumb as shit.
I think it fits the Celtic warrior moniker a lot better.
Does it fit the whole fella entrance?
You know what? If he just screamed and then for the rest of the entrance, they just kept the arena dark with a spotlight, he'd look so much more badass.
Yeah, that fella, that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
Mm.
Dude!
What's going on about body?
Bro!
So, I have a question. Why is it that when Bad News Barrett's elbow pad is red, it hurts more?
I always wondered that, and I have no idea.
That's a good point. Gotta be some reason here. I mean, we gotta trust WWE, right?
Like, is the one side, like, is it got more metal on the other side or some shit?
Why would there be any metal in there? Aren't these things supposed to be inspected by the referee?
Yeah, he's not Lex Luger.
When was the last time that you saw a referee check the pads?
You know,
maybe because it's the bowl hammer and maybe they use red to, like, do the whole, like, Toro thing with bowls.
It might be because AMA fucking elbow pads and knee pads suck dick, and when they're flipped around the other way, they don't provide enough padding.
So, you know what it might be? Maybe when he flips it out to red and he goes to hit the person, El Torito is secretly running out and colliding with that person at the same time, and it's happening so fast that we don't even see it.
Well, he is pretty small. I could see how we could miss it.
All right.
I reckon Bad News Barrett needs to win the King of the Ring, because I'm getting bored of the whole Bad News Barrett character. So, all hail King Barrett.
If they're gonna have a King of the Ring, an Englishman would probably be ideal. I mean, it worked for William Regal, though he was more snobby.
At the very least, a heel tends to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's definitely. Very rare that like a babyface can pull off being King of the Ring. Like whenever they do win, they tend to be like, "Oh, cool, I'm King of the Ring. Awesome for tonight." Like Ken Shamrock didn't run around with the fucking King of the Ring crown. Bret Hart didn't like do anything like that. Owen Hart, you know, Steve Austin. Well, Austin didn't really do that. Booker and shit. Like, awesome. You know,
I hate the King of the Ring being a gimmick. I think it should just be a tournament with a lot of prestige. I don't think you need to go around running around with a fucking cape and a crown on afterwards. It's fucking ridiculous.
Well, you don't have to, but you should be able to use that to tout how like important you are and stuff.
It's a wrestling thing, dude, and it's temporary. It shouldn't become like a permanent thing. I think we've seen some really cool innovations with that. I mean, King Booker is probably one of the best examples. The Macho King, the King of Hearts.
I think King Booker's been the biggest success with that, just because of how he applied the gimmick to his character. He'd act all regal and shit, and then when something goes wrong, he turns hood and ghetto. It's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about Mabel.
Yeah. Well,
everybody else has.
You just fucking devalued the King of the Ring in one night. Congrats, Tony.
Goodness. Why don't we go ahead and open up our phone lines here and go ahead and bring on our first caller. He is one of our favorite callers. He's been calling to the show for a long time. Let's go ahead and bring him on.
Crap.
Sound what to do, me there? How you doing, Sound what to do?
I was like, oh wow, how is this gonna go? And then all of a sudden I heard a beep, was like, wait a minute, I know what that means.
Oh, how you doing this evening, Sound what to do?
I'm doing quite finely. How are you fine fellas doing? Is it fine? Are you doing fine?
How's everybody feline this evening? Get it? Cat, dog, feline. Yeah. All right.
That was quite
interesting. So what'd you think about Raw tonight, Silent Wind of Doom?
Yeah, it was okay. The King of the Ring actually made me care about the matches, whereas normally everything that was in the middle I really wouldn't care about. So I actually followed everything and was interested in what happened, and I-Truth won, which was weird, but looks pretty okay going forward.
Mm.
And anyway,
Who do you who do you think is going to win the tournament overall?
I have no idea. It would be nice to be Barrett. Barrett seems to need.
Wouldn't it be nice if it was Barrett? Keep going.
I don't know. Barrett seems to be getting just kind of crapped on a lot. Kind of. So it will be nice for him to have a feather in his cap. Also a cap. I guess the crown. Crown's a cap, right? Yeah.
He wouldn't need a cape. He's already got a cape on me, so.
Yeah. Yeah, perhaps he could wear one of those, like, triangular caps.
Oh, yeah. The freaking...
Like the pilgrims?
Trying to think of if he should have a wig to go along with it, or just the tricorner hat.
And he could come out and go, yes! Always Sunny reference.
Very good, sir. I love Naomi's boots, by the way. They're fantastic. Mm. Her theme song, her new music, because she is no longer, funk is no longer on a roll, sadly, is so stupid. Why do I love it so much?
How stupid is it?
I think you love it because it's amazing.
It's dumb.
When it first started, I started hearing it in the background, like, no, that's so stupid. Why would, and now it's the second night, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, just kind of bop into it. Like, what is wrong with me? I have no control.
You bop into it because Naomi bops to it, so monkey see, monkey do.
Whoa, okay, all right. So I want to do, what was your high point and your low point for Raw tonight?
High point, low point. I don't really got one. I was mostly going to talk about...
Well, it's a good job that we don't have this high point, low point every week. Yeah. I mean...
I don't know.
Whatever happened to the Silent Doom who used to take notes before he called in?
I have notes. I have five notes here. My high point is going to be I did love Dean's line after it got DQ'd and he was yelling at the ref and you could hear him in the background go, for once in my life, I didn't do it!
Yeah. Good character moment.
I really didn't have a low point. Nothing really got to me this Raw. It was okay. My low point is still gonna. I'm still confused about how the chain match ended last night, but I had no clue how they were doing the rules in terms of what considered consecutively or not.
All right. Well, Silent One, the Doom. Before you go, I got someone else on the line who wants to speak to you.
Oh dear.
Yes, as you know, we are continuing the ongoing investigation of the murder of our beloved Time Cow. And you, my good friend, are on the suspect list. And as such, you are going to have to go under some investigation. You better start taking this serious, motherfucker, because on the line, we have Cliff Clefton, and he's here to talk to you. Cliff, you there?
Yes, how are you doing there, Mike?
Absolutely tremendous. I cannot thank you enough for finding the time to join us once again this week. I know you are a busy man taking on some of the biggest cases in the country. I understand that you're currently helping some people out in Baltimore right now.
That is correct. You know, it's a big old mess out there. I'm doing what I can to help out, but frankly, I'm really busy with that right now. So I can only talk to y'all for a minute here tonight. I hope you don't mind.
I appreciate every moment that you can give to us. Now, I have the... person that you asked me to have ready for you to speak to. I have the polygraph machine all set up here. You are free to conduct your investigation this evening.
All right. Do I have a Mr. Doom on the line? Mr. Silent Wind of Doom?
Yes, sir, Mr. Clefton.
All right. Now, Mr. Doom, I've been waiting to talk to you for quite some time. The hosts of the show have asked me here to be here today to ask you a series of questions. Are you prepared, sir?
I am probably not, but I will try anyway.
All right. Very good. Now, what I'm going to need you to do here is speak very clearly and loudly in response to every question. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Loud and clear.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, now all you got to do is tell me the truth. You'll have nothing to worry about. All right, now, for the record, would you please state your name?
Jeffrey Mark Snowman.
Mark Snowman. Now, it says right here that your name is Silent Wind of Doom. Now, that is deception, sir.
Oh, dear.
All right. Now, what city are you calling from?
I'm in a kind of a weird amorphous spot between Montgomery and Walden and Newburgh. Hey.
Yeah, I got one correct so far. That's not so good. One and one. Let's see. Now, have you ever lied while calling into this radio show, sir?
Not that I can recall.
They're not so good there. Now answer this. Are you the real Silent Wind of Doom? We've had some issues with imposters here in the past. Now, are you the real Silent Wind of Doom?
I have never come across anyone who wanted to pretend to be me.
That's not the question, sir. Are you the real Silent Wind of Doom?
Well, yeah, then, because there are no imposters. That would be... There you go.
All right, just to be clear now. Now, please tell me, what is your relationship to the imposter, JD?
I have no relationship with the imposter, JD. Hey.
That's very surprising. That's very surprising.
I'm surprised you are.
Check that machine later and make sure it's calibrated properly. All right. Now, this is an important question. What is your honest opinion of the recently deceased Time Cow?
I am...
An honest opinion now.
So very sad at the loss of our fallen comrade.
Now, before the Time Cow was murdered, did you ever wish she was dead?
Certainly not, sir.
Oh, very disturbing. Now, please answer me this. What was your involvement in Time Cow's death, sir?
I have had absolutely no involvement in any kind of bovicide.
Very puzzling. Now, where were you at the time of the bovine tragedy, sir?
I was sitting here in my room and on the Skype call listening to the show, as I am every Monday.
Very troubling. Now, Michael, I'm done with my questions here for Mr. Doom. As you've heard, I've detected multiple inconsistencies.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Doom's voice exhibits high levels of stress and deception. So take that as you will, sir.
He's always sounded very shifty whenever he's called in from the very first time. I always knew there was something odd about this one.
Oh, dear.
I cannot disagree there. He doesn't sound like a very trustworthy person, in my opinion.
So what you're saying is he's not only remained on the suspect list, perhaps he's bumped up?
Oh, absolutely, sir. Absolutely. You know, we cannot eliminate him at this point. I think we're going to have to continue the investigation. At this point, we don't know. There are still a few people that I still need to be talking to here. We'll continue this in future weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, Mr. Silent Wind of Doom, please do not leave the state, because I am going to be needing to ask you some questions in the future.
Of Maryland?
Whatever state you're currently in, sir.
Oh,
please do not leave the state.
All right.
Oh, goodness.
Thank you very much.
Well, Mr. Clefton, we always appreciate the time that you could spare to give to this case that we have. It means a lot to us. It means a lot to our listeners. And I know it's small potatoes compared to some of the things that you work on, but we know you're the best, and we appreciate your expertise.
All right. I'll be keeping in touch with you this week, sir. I will talk to you later.
You take care, Mr. Clefton. As for you, Silent Wind of Doom, I must say I'm quite disappointed.
I don't understand what could have happened. I'm still as confused as why Phil Stevenson hates me.
Well, let's just say...
Confused about a lot of things.
JD was very quick to assume that you had something to do with the imposter JD. Now, while it seems you may not have had anything to do with that, doesn't mean you didn't have anything to do with Time Cow's death.
And in truth, we never truly found out who the fake JD was, so...
We just kind of stopped taking calls from the 412.
And caring.
I'm still trying to figure out what a tow truck pig is.
Well, questions that'll all have to be answered on another day. Silent Wind of Doom, we're going to have to let you go for now to keep moving things along here. Until next time, Silent Wind of Doom, we'll talk to you. And as Mr. Clefton said, you better not leave the state.
Move, really? That was terrible. It was in poor taste. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, good night. Thank you for your parting words. asshole. All right. Where do we leave off here? Let's see. We got a match between Tyson Kidd and Big E, one half of the new tag team champs. Sorry, I guess one third of the new tag team champions, The New Day, who got some new pyro this evening. The crowd is still going intensely at them. We had Xavier Woods holding down Tyson Kidd's leg while the referee can't see him, allowing Big E to get the cheap pinfall victory. Continuing this feud between the two, so we'll probably see these guys have a match at Payback. I wouldn't expect them just to have a 1 month reign and give it back to the guys that got them from, although they very easily could do that. I don't know. How you guys feeling 24 hours into the title reign of The New Day? Tony, I know you've been waiting for this for a long time.
I'm definitely supportive of it. I think that they've got a lot of potential. I like this tag team. I've liked them since the beginning. The only problem was they weren't over with the crowd, and I love how ridiculous it is. So as far as I'm concerned, New Day rocks.
Any other thoughts from anyone?
I'm in the opposite direction. I've never liked New Day. I just find them bland, and what the fuck does Xavier Woods do? I can have Xavier Woods' job if I was painted black. I'm just saying.
All right, Wago, do you have anything interesting to say?
I've got something that's probably better than what Sean just said. So, yeah, as far as them going as a trio, I find them fine for a comedy trio that just gets jobbed out. But as champions, I've got no reason to buy into them. Why on earth do they suddenly have the ability to beat these guys that, for the most part, have been pretty decent tag team champions, ignoring the Randy Orton incidents? So, I'm not a fan of it. I'm hoping that they evolve their character a little more so that I do give a shit. But right now, it's just a bunch of losers fighting each other.
I mean, I like Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. I want them to do well. I want the tag team division to do well. And we have the Lucha Dragons develop over in the corner. And I still think there's hope for the Ascension. But I don't know. They're going to have to do more than just these single matches between the teams to get me interested. They have to actually give personas to these teams, as they seem like they're trying to. So let's see how it goes. And I'm not just going to discount them as losers fully. But that's how they've done the New Day for the last 3 months. So it's going to be tough to change my mind on it. Any other final thoughts on this?
They suck.
Well, all right then. We had Ryback out for didn't know what, because nothing's ever advertised. Bo Dallas follows him up, and he does his usual Bo leave speech shtick. Ryback declines to leave, has a squash match with Bo, hits the shell shock for the pin. After the match, Bray Wyatt comes out and attacks Ryback with a snap Sister Abigail, one of the honestly best looking Sister Abigails that I've seen him do. Funny of all, being sold by Ryback. That's who I guess Bray Wyatt has been talking to all this time. I did not see that coming. I don't think there was anything in there to hint that this would have been Ryback.
I called it from the start.
I called it ever since I saw an article suggesting it.
I think it was like 2 weeks ago. He was on about failed successes and failed at main eventing and weightlifting and shit. And you just put two and two together and you make four.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts about this whole situation that just happened here tonight?
Oh, I think it's going to blow.
Yeah, I'm with Sean. The match for this is going to be fucking abysmal. Like, this is going to be worse than John Cena versus Rusev by far. It is going to stink up the joint.
Yeah, but you know what? I really don't care at this point.
And I would just like to say, before the match happens, Bray Wyatt is going to be the reason it sucks. Don't blame this on Rusev.
Definitely don't blame it on Rusev. He's not in the match.
Oh, fuck Ryback. Give him an R. Same thing.
Well, Sal God damn it,
Rusev messing up that Ryback and Bray Wyatt match.
Salwin Doom brings up an interesting point. He says, I thought his promo after already beating up Ryback meant he wasn't talking about him, but Ryback was just a demonstration. That's possible.
He did a promo after that?
Yeah, that's when they played his pre-recorded promo where he's in the creepy, foggy room, wherever he is.
Oh, I must have missed that. But if it is Ryback, this is just a push Ryback, isn't it? Just to make him look better than what he is.
Yeah, when you get Sister Abigail, you always look better than you are.
No, this is to give Bray Wyatt something to do before they move on to somebody else. Probably Roman Reigns.
I really hope Bray Wyatt wins Money in the Bank.
I don't. Jesus.
No.
Imagine him climbing a ladder.
Imagine him coming out every week with the fucking briefcase.
Yeah, that'd be ugly as fuck.
Briefcase.
They could probably give him like a really ratty old leather briefcase.
I just make it out of Luke Harper's old shirts.
Just give him a paper bag. It's got like Olive Garden on it or something.
I'm at least happy to see Bray Wyatt facing somebody unique, someone different.
Yeah.
So it's that at the very least.
Poor Ryback.
Well, you knew someone that was semi-established was going to get taken out by Bray Wyatt just because after losing to The Undertaker, he needs something. I mean, you can't really recover from that.
But he's the new face of fear, even though he lost.
Yeah, well, fuck.
We had John Cena out to speak about his match that he had last night at Extreme Rules with Rusev. He also talks about how they're having a rematch at Payback. It's going to be an I Quit match, and it's going to be the final chapter of the John Cena and Rusev series of matches. He then says that he's going to be opening up for the United States Open Challenge, and it's answered by Heath Slater. Heath Slater comes out and says a few words. I don't remember anything specifically he says. And before he gets too far into it, he's attacked by Rusev, who then comes out and slobbers all over a microphone and then a Russian flag drops. And that was our segment. So we didn't get to actually have the United States Open Challenge match tonight, which is unfortunate for me because I was looking forward to those points. But whatever. We're having Cena and Rusev again. Hip, hip, hooray.
I got a few thoughts on these. First, I think it was actually smart having Rusev interrupt this segment because right now, as we've said, for the most part, it's one of the highlights of our week as far as Raw goes. John Cena actually has a good wrestling match 9 times out of 10. And Rusev took that away from us. And there was a lot of good wrestling on tonight, so it wasn't exactly something that devalued the show as a whole. As far as this being the final chapter in their feud, far from. John Cena may win the final match of their quote-unquote feud, but I guarantee we're going to see these two wrestle again. Probably the month afterwards on a Raw, they'll just give it away on TV.
Yeah, lovely.
How many times has this now been Cena versus Rusev? Is it like fourth?
This will be fourth, yeah. We had Fastlane, WrestleMania, Extreme Rules, and now Payback.
Fuck my life.
I don't mind having a long feud, but you've got to keep me interested.
Do you think there's a shot for Rusev to win?
I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it
because didn't John Cena put his career on the line?
No. No, he said if Rusev wins, he won't challenge him again for the U.S. title. That's what he said.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with Rusev winning. It might undo some of the damage that Cena's caused, but it won't do too much. Cena's already beat him back-to-back.
And if he beats him a third time, I really don't think there's much you could do with Rusev after that.
I'm going to be pissed off. I know I'm going to be pissed off because I know Cena's going to win. I just think if you're going to... I understand that they wanted to feed Rusev to John Cena, but to do 4 matches in a row and to have Cena beat him 3 times in a row, that's overkill.
Mm-hmm. Church.
All right. See, I agree with Simon when they're doing. Why didn't they do this last month at Extreme Rules? Yeah, quit match.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes sense.
And that's what cements that John Cena isn't losing. I quit. Cena don't quit.
Indeed.
Cena doesn't even fucking tap out.
All right, guys. With that, we're going to head to a little bit of a break here. Stay tuned when we come back for the Raw post-show on Mega Powers Radio, the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We're inviting all of you to join the phone lines, chat rooms, Twitter, Facebook. Tons of ways to get yourself involved. We'll be back in just a few minutes here on the Raw post-show on Mega Powers Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
Anyway, so yeah. Everybody knows it's going to happen. And,
well, I'm just going to say something about TNA real quick, though, before we go on. I just think how our TNA's on borrowed time. I think them bringing Billy Corgan back is just it's a pity hire, if you ask me. I don't see this lasting very long. However, I don't see him lasting long itself. I mean, I give him maybe 6 months at most. But I think TNA's going to be out of business before you know it. I think by the end of the summer, possibly by early mid-fall, if their ratings continue to go down.
Let's go to the caller before we get to that caller. You are live on the show. Who's this?
This is Leon from Front Royal.
Hey, our good friend.
You guys back?
No, this is the last show. This is the telephone. But we're typing a new show, which is so what did you think about the show tonight, buddy?
It was great. It was fantastic. Well, not as great as it was, but it was okay.
Surprise, motherfucker.
What were your favorite parts of it?
What?
Hello?
Hello? Wait a minute. Is this Mega Powers Radio?
Is this Mega Power? Are you guys on the air?
Yeah.
You called a radio show from a radio show.
It's Shady. It's Shady. I'm on TGTS with Minister and his cohort. I was just about to call in Mega Powers Radio. I haven't gone on yet.
Oh, hey, Shady, what's up?
They're calling us.
Nothing.
They're calling us from their show.
Yeah. What's up, guys?
That's pretty cool, man. And the high point, what was your favorite match of the night?
High point was, I guess, Reigns and Orton against Rollins and Kane. Low point would have to be Rosa Mendes and Adam Rose.
That is one big pile of shit.
You don't like the story progressing?
I agree. Hey, I agree.
Frisky, are we? All right, so let's talk more about what we see for the future of Payback. And now we know it's a triple threat. Do we see Rollins with Kane? Let's go to Jake.
I think, unfortunately, you probably will, however. But then in June, Dean Ambrose wins Money in the Bank and makes Rollins' life a living hell early on.
I agree.
On the corner from where we are, just coming over here. There are two men. Well, so far we know that we're going to get Ryback versus the bearded guy, and of course the triple threat. That's about it that we know for now. We'll see how it goes for Ryback and Bray Wyatt on that. I expect Bray Wyatt to win this one simply so that they can feed him to Reigns later on down the line. I think that I would give it to Randy Orton if they didn't have plans in the future. And I think Orton is just – he's not going to see the title. I don't think there's any – he's going to see it anytime soon. He's going to be in the mix, but he's not going to have it. And if he does – I would much rather, if somebody had it for a short term, I would much rather have it be Kane.
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.
Who do you think is going to win at Payback?
I think Rollins should retain the title against Reigns and Orton. I'm sorry, I'm trying to, I was watching, I'm watching CNN right now with the riots and and this guy was yelling the F word.
Yeah.
Lights win. Lights win. Let's make noise up, everybody. Lights win again.
Hey, hey.
Very, very interesting.
On that note, I think that we're gonna call it. as a night. The wrestling portion, anyway, talking about wrestling, I want to remind everybody that you can hear Minister of Sinister, me here at Plutonium, probably Real KB, over on Masters of Wrestling. That will be premiering next Monday, www.wearewrestling.net. TDTS Radio, we don't know if it's going to come or go. We do know that Talking Sports will be going to the After Hours Network. And remember, I am the reigning IWC World Heavyweight Champion. All right, let's go.
All right, we are back here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio Live, the most interactive post-Raw experience available out there, where we invite all of you to call in. You never know what might happen on this crazy live environment. Hope you guys enjoyed the break entertainment. Guys, let's return to the conversation about Raw. We last talked about John Cena and Rusev. After that, we had a match between R-Truth and Stardust. Another first-round King of the Ring matchup. Not much to really report off of this one other than R-Truth getting a shocking victory and advancing into the semifinals.
Yeah, that booking of R-Truth has been really whack recently. They brought him back for the Not Money in the Bank Intercontinental Championship match, and they started giving him a prominent role in that feud. And now they've brought him back again to apparently get somewhat far in the King of the Ring. I tell you what, it'd be weird as hell if he went all the way and won it.
King R-Truth, can you imagine?
You know what, though? He's one of those guys that'd make that role work.
Imagine he brought in, like, a new King Booker.
He could pull it off. I don't want to see it, but he could pull it off.
If R-Truth wins, I will give everybody every part of my team.
Cool.
Every part?
Every part. Everybody can have my team. If R-Truth wins, everybody can have a piece of
my team. All right. Everyone has heard that. That's recorded. It's going to be on the archive edition. So when R-Truth wins, I'm taking Neville.
Wait, does Sean have any divas?
No.
No.
My team is a sausage fest of white guys.
Well, okay. Any other thoughts about R-Truth just existing in this fucking tournament?
What's up?
What's up? Tony?
What's up? That's all you have to say. It's fucking R-Truth.
We had Adam Rose versus Fandango. I guess this is going to be Fandango's new feud. He gets distracted by some of the Rosebuds outside, specifically one of them that ends up being Rosa Mendez, who was dressed up as the Chiquita Banana Girl. She distracts him long enough for Adam Rose to get the... What the hell is this move called again? The Party Foul, I believe? Yeah, the Party Foul. For the pinfall victory, and then Rosa Mendez makes out with Adam Rose, which is pretty much all that she's good for.
That is the height of Adam Rose's career right there.
Yeah.
So as far as this goes, I'm just happy that they're doing something with Fandango. He's eventually going to come out on top of this and score me some points, so I'm happy with that. As far as where this goes, it's a pre-show match, which mm-hmm. Fandango wins, which is fine. I mean, not every feud has to be a main card feud. It gives Fandango something to do. Mm-hmm. I'd rather him do this than sit on the sidelines. Because every minute he's out there is a minute that he might impress someone in the back. Because he's very talented.
I absolutely agree.
I was so high on Adam Rose once upon a time. Oh, I just wish he would fuck off.
He was on your team for quite a while last season.
You have to be high to like Adam Rose.
Don't be a lemon.
He has great character.
I don't like this character. I didn't even like his Leo Kruger character, so I guess I just don't like him.
He's an ugly dude, is the problem.
Who's uglier, him or Neville?
I don't know.
You see, Neville isn't, like, ugly to the point where it's grotesque to look at him. It's kind of like, look at his fucking ears.
Yeah, that's where it is.
Looks a bit like Dumbo.
Neville looks silly. Adam Rose is ugly.
Yeah, I think that's the appropriate way of saying that.
Yeah. Neville looks silly. Adam Rose looks gross.
But if Adam Rose and Wade Barrett had a baby, it would be Adrian Neville.
No.
No, not quite. He doesn't have those, like, that disgusting jaw that Adam Rose has.
Oh, his fucking ugly skin.
Mm-hmm. His ugly skin.
Like, he's not white. He's just got this awkward fucking tan, which looks like some nasty-ass pudding.
Silo in the Doom says Neville looks like a possum. I don't get that one quite as much. Creepers Under Radars brings up Bo. Yeah, Bo, especially now with this new fucking goatee that he has. It's fucking hideous.
Well, Bo, you see, Bo kind of, that fits Bo's character and gimmick entirely.
Oh, sure.
Adam Rose is just ugly.
When is Bo gonna start doing Boga?
DDP Boga?
Yeah. I think about it, that always goes hand in hand with Bo-tivation.
Speaking of which, didn't R-Truth beat Bo Dallas last year?
Yes, he did. He's the one who defeated the streak.
Ugh. Well, I'm glad they did that. I mean, look at R-Truth now.
Well, it was all just winning to set him up. Yeah, it was
winning King of the Ring.
It was to set him up. You know, it's kind of like how they had Brock Lesnar finish the Undertaker streak to set him up for the world title. They had R-Truth beat Bo streak to set him up for the King of the Ring. It all makes sense now.
Just another case of WWE being right every time.
Well, fuck, what do we know? We had a match between Naomi and Brie Bella, where Nikki Bella was on the sideline saying, come on, Brie. And Naomi ended up getting the victory. And she had light-up shoes.
Brie mode!
And that's really all there is to report.
I don't like those fucking shoes. They gotta go. They're very distracting.
I like them because they're different. And Naomi doesn't have too much of a character established right now. And what they are doing with her, though, is giving her things to stand out. Mm. Be it her abysmal music, be it her stupid look.
Mm-hmm.
You're not meant to like her. She's a heel.
I don't mind her outfit. I don't mind her music. I just don't like the fucking shoes. I just find it distracting away from the wrestling, that's all.
Yeah, I thought they were fine when they were just regular LEDs, but now when they're, like, changing colors and shit, like, I can't stop looking at them.
I say if it makes you different and it really doesn't hurt you, go ahead and do it. And I don't think it's hurting her, well, at least not significantly.
That is hurting them if it's distracting me. Like, if the LEDs stuck out, that's where it's at the good point. But I think that's getting to the point where it's too far.
It'll be like Roman Reigns' eyeballs. You'll be like, eh. His fucking eyes are blue. Is his eyes still got contacts in? And you'll be same way with the LED boots. You just won't notice them after a while.
Oh, see, you don't even see that they're color changing because you don't see in color. So they probably just look like they're staying the same color the whole time for you.
I see in color. I'm not a fucking dog.
We had a match between Dean Ambrose and Sheamus, another King of the Ring first round matchup. Surprisingly, this one, Sheamus ended up going on, so it was half what we thought was going to be moving on. Dolph Ziggler attacks Sheamus at the end of it, causing the disqualification, allowing Sheamus to move on. Dean Ambrose having a great line, as Silent Wind of Doom pointed out at the end, saying, why am I being disqualified? For the first time in my life, it wasn't me. Really good. These guys actually had a pretty damn decent match. Two guys that I think are going to be excellent upper mid-carders through this year. Any thoughts from you guys?
No, I'm pretty much just going to be echoing the same things as you are. So the only thing I can add is I think Dolph's going to cost him later on, and then we'll get a payback match between them. I imagine Sheamus will get to the actual finals, probably against Neville, and then get fucked over.
Well, he's facing Neville in the semifinals.
Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah, so fuck my opinion, and go Sheamus.
Dean Ambrose is so much better than they give him credit for. And hopefully, even though he didn't make it past the first round of this, hopefully they've got something for him. He deserves it.
Yeah, out of the three members of the show, I honestly thought Dean Ambrose would have been higher up than Roman Reigns, but sadly, it's the other way around.
What do What do you want about sadly? You like Seth Rollins.
I do like Seth Rollins, but, you know, I would have thought Ambrose would have been higher up than Reigns.
I thought Seth was going to be the one to struggle the most, but we've had this conversation a million times.
Yeah, we have. I just like hearing you say that Seth Rollins is the guy. That's all. And for my review of this match, I didn't watch it because I was busy looking at A.V. Scott's tits.
Well, all right then.
Did you hear that laugh that Sean used? That was like the four Seth Rollins laugh.
Yep. Any other final thoughts to add to this?
Gavin. Sheamus looks dumb.
Mallet.
What's up?
We had our final King of the Ring first round matchup between Neville and Luke Harper. Poor Luke Harper, not even getting a shot throughout this. Neville getting the victory with the red arrow, moving on to the King of the Ring tournament tomorrow night. I mean, good for Neville. He's gotten a lot of unfortunate losses throughout his start. I mean, they made sense. I'm not saying they shouldn't have been that way, but he needed a good victory, and getting far in this tournament will do well for him.
What are you on about, poor Luke Harper? Poor Adrian Neville. He had to touch him. One thing I wanted to ask, what do you think about him having two nicknames? He's no longer just the man that Gravity Forgot. He's the man that Gravity Forgot, the new sensation, Neville.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. On Raw and Extreme Rules, they started adding that.
Huh. I didn't even notice. That's cool. I dig it.
I guess they had to put something there because just saying Neville is still weird to me. Like, everyone else I adjusted to in about a week or so. Neville, I'm not feeling.
I tell you what they could have put there instead. His first fucking name.
Did Michael Cole accidentally call him Adrian Neville last night?
Yeah, he did.
I see Neville as a guy that's going to end up getting his first name back.
He's fine. Listen, he used to go under Pac. It's one syllable.
What's up?
this was my match of the night.
Oh, yeah, this match kicked ass.
Such a good match. Fucking that powerbomb on Neville, I was like, oh, shit.
These guys are workhorses. I mean, people will always praise Neville for him, but I think Luke Harper is one of the most underrated workers on the company right now. He kicks ass when he goes out there and needs to perform. He'll really put in a hell of a performance.
I liked his IC run.
I liked his IC run, too. I hope he gets it again.
Yeah, Luke Harper's a good hand for a big man. He's not going to give you... What's the WWE typical match now, which is small guys dominating the industry? So Luke Harper's a nice change of pace. He's a big guy you can use and who can work with these smaller guys. I think he's going to be a couple of years, though, before we see him break out and do anything.
That's fine. He's got time. I mean, his bald spot's catching up with him already, but I think it works for him.
Yeah, definitely. He looks fucking hideous, so why not?
His video package was the best as well, out of all of them.
Oh, yeah.
I do like what he does with his jacket, how he crosses the names off. I wish they'd just bring more attention to that on the commentary table. It actually adds an extra layer to his character.
Hmm.
Yeah, you said that but the last night. I was really paying attention to his fucking jacket last night. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's got all the names crossed off.
Brian's name crossed up. Well, not Brian's. It's Yes, isn't it?
Huh.
Pretty interesting.
Fancy that. Well, we got one last match to talk about this evening. It is a main event. It was a tag match of Kane and Seth Rollins going against Roman Reigns and Randy Orton. Meaningless Raw main event tag match. It really doesn't even fucking matter. I believe the babyfaces won. Probably somehow involved in RKO out of nowhere. And we ended up getting the revealing the results for our WWE app poll. And, of course, we're going to be having the triple threat at Extreme Rules.
Which was advertised beforehand.
Yes, it was.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm just totally surprised. Never would have saw this coming. I thought for sure Randy Orton was going to get all the votes. Yeah, right.
I would have spammed the vote if I had the app on my phone, but I just can't be bothered.
I'd have gone back ECW mode and voted for The Miz.
I would have rather just rewatched the Damian Sandow segment because I was not feeling this match whatsoever. As far as it goes, the only thing that surprised me is that they gave Roman Reigns they gave Randy Orton the hot tag. Typically, they savor that for the big guy or the top guy in the company. So I guess it goes to show that they're giving Roman Reigns more of a slow build now, which is great because forcing him down people's throats wasn't working. Match quality, it wasn't a bad match, but once you hit that 3-hour point and you're waiting for the show to end and it's running over, you just stop caring. So I feel bad for anyone who is in that spot because there's not much you can do to make people care.
I got a tweet here from Dane Quinn. He says, what does it say about WWE writers that Neville is in the final four of the King of the Ring tournament? I don't think it says anything negative about them.
Fucking job.
Yeah, I think it's positive.
It means they've got a brand new talent on the roster who's an incredible wrestler, and they want to showcase him.
So there.
Buddy.
He also has a comment about Dean Ambrose. He says, Dean Ambrose will be the next CM Punk and leave for good after he gets fed up with the writers.
I'll tell you what it says about the writers. Christian's not as good as Edge. That's just something to drive Dane nuts.
Is Christian the one that they should put the blue dot on?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just wanted to double check.
Funny how quickly we've all forgotten about Christian, really.
Is he still on the roster?
He is still on the WWE.com roster. Although I'm pretty sure they have said that he's officially retired now.
Yeah, they didn't even make a big deal that he retired. It was just like, oh, look, it's Edge and Christian, the two retired guys.
And he's like, wait, what?
Wait, I'm retired?
Wouldn't it be great if that's how they broke the news? Seth just dropped it in a promo and he's like, what the fuck?
And somebody just comes up to him like Stephanie or something. They put an arm around his shoulder. Listen.
Listen. Here's your watch.
See, when he took the bump, because if you remember during that entire segment, like, Christian stayed on the outside during the whole thing, which must have been 15 minutes after taking a punch. They're like, nah, can't get up, you're retired now.
It's like a watch. Don't I get a Hall of Fame ring? That happens to most people when they retire and they're still pretty, you know, in good shape, right? Right? Guys?
Yeah, we don't have room in the Hall of Fame budget for blue dots, sorry.
I still think he would be a good coach for Tough Enough, though.
Dane Quinn has a response for you. He says, you guys just lost a listener thanks to Tony. Damn it, Tony, you're fired. Although I guess...
Don't worry, I heard TGI Fridays is hiring.
Oh, goodness. If no one else has it... Oh, yeah, no, we didn't talk about the Sandow segment. I almost forgot. They had Damian Sandow out to really kind of do like a candid interview where he just kind of like dropped all of his character and just spoke from the heart. And I think it was one of the best interviews he's ever done. He gets interrupted by, who the fuck did he get interrupted by?
Curtis Axel.
And then they,
you got it.
Yeah. Damian Sandow just like mocks him the whole time, like impersonating what he's saying the whole time. And eventually it just pisses him off to the point where Sandow throws him a few punches and that was that.
I have mixed feelings about this segment. On the one hand, great job by Sandow, having some development. But the mocking thing ran too long.
It ran too long, it was kind of childish, and I think it cheapens his character, like, to have him do this comedy segment the first time we're seeing him on his own again.
You see, when he first did it, it was kind of funny, like how he was simultaneously going to rip his shirt off and shit. After that, they should have just cut to the beatdown. But they dragged it out way too long. That was my only issue with it. What this means is that they've got plans for Sandow, or at least it's what it should mean. I'm not going to give WWE that much credit. And I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with this. There's a couple of things you can do to him. You can have him be a prominent guy in the mid-card division, or he can be that Santino comedy guy. There's another guy who I think is primed for that spot too, but I can't remember. Fandango. So I could see either of those guys filling that role, but looking forward to seeing what's on the horizon for Sandow.
Creepers on the Radar saying that was a horrible segment. Can they make Sandow look any more like a bitch?
I don't see how you're saying he looks like a bitch. I mean, he's just gone ahead and said, I tried this, it didn't work. I've developed a connection with you guys, thank you. And then he kicks someone's ass. I mean, if you want to elaborate on that more and tell us why he looks like a bitch, go ahead. But all it did was give Sandow more development than he's had in a long time and come out looking strong.
Well,
I want to know why they fucking changed the name of the Elbow of Disdain to some sort of fucking piece of shit in Latin.
The Copito Acquiet, that's what it's always been called.
Yeah, they've always called it.
No.
Yeah, they've always called it a beef baguette.
Yeah, they, no, they've,
that beats the elbow of disdain.
Yeah, that's what it is in Latin. Copito acquiet is elbow of disdain in Latin.
Oh.
See, Sean, this is why I'm in charge of Fantasy League rules and all these things.
Yeah, even it's though you didn't notice that game. Neville had a new fucking name and Luke Harper's been writing stuff off his jacket.
What does that have to do with Fantasy League stuff?
You notice everything.
Yeah, that doesn't have anything to do with points. I don't give points for having cool jackets.
You should.
I mean, Chris Jericho would be like the number one guy to draft.
Oh no, he had that ugly fucking red one.
That's true. All right, guys. So I think with that, we can go ahead and move into our good, bad, and ugly for this evening's episode. Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what our favorite part of the show, our least favorite part of the show, and what the stupidest part of the show we thought was this evening on Raw. We're going to do the host first, but if you out there in the chat room have one that you want to throw out there, go ahead and put it in there, and I'll read it before the end of the segment here. In the meantime, though, Sean, what's your good, bad, and ugly this week?
Happy days.
Happy days. The good is Neville and Luke Harper's match. I thought that was, like, the greatest thing of tonight's episode. The bad, Naomi's shoes. And the ugly, the fact that these King of the Ring matches aren't known as gimmicks. They're known as stipulations.
All right. Well, sucks to be you, nerd. Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
Good is that the King of the Ring is back. That's awesome. I've been wanting that to come back for years. Bad is how my fucking team is performing. God damn it. And the ugly is, well, we could give that to Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas, Neville, Adam Rose.
Your team's doing better than mine.
What's up?
All right, Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good is going to be Neville's performance. I enjoy him every time he's out there, win or lose. I say keep his video packages and promos to a minimum. I'm not a fan of him talking. More wrestling, less talking for that guy. Bad, I'm going to give to the opening segment. I don't remember what they said. I don't remember what it set up. And what it did set up was disappointing. And my ugly, and we didn't touch on it, but they had an awkward segue into the way that they decided to touch on Daniel Bryan's injury.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember what the segue was exactly, but it was something.
Brie was crying on the microphone, and then like Naomi's hand just like came down and shoved her into the ground.
It wasn't even that. It was on commentary. They had something else happen in the ring, which was really silly. And they were just cracking up, and they're like, haha, so, Daniel Bryan's injury, huh, guys? That's pretty much how they said it. It was fucking awful. Mm-hmm. The guy's one of your top talents. He's your Intercontinental Champion. I know he's been injured for fucking so long already. But make it a big deal. Make it seem important.
I got to ask a little too much. All right, we'll take one out of the chat room here. Silent One of Doom saying the good Sandow segment. The bad, they harped on the prestige of the crown, then had a middling bracket. What? I don't know. Ugly, I still don't understand why the lights weren't reset after Cena's AA during the chain match, and it's pissing me off. Kind of pissed me off, too. It should have been interrupted. But we'll talk more about that when we do our Extreme Rules review on Smack Talk this week. Got one last thing to do, and that's to do my good, bad, and ugly. My good, I am going to make a very heavy vote for the Neville versus Luke Harper match. That match kicked ass, Neville especially. There was that springboard he did onto the outside off the top rope where he just looked like he went 100 feet in the air. It was an awesome move he did. The whole performance by both these guys kicked ass. I think they stole the show as far as these King of the Ring matches, and all of them were pretty damn good. The bad, I'm going to give to the fact that we had another random tag team match in our main event. And the ugly is going to be that opening segment that, as I said before, was only like 10, 15 minutes, and it felt like it was the entire show's length. All right, guys, with that, we are going to go ahead and move to the plugs. We're going to be wrapping up a little early this week, so let me pass it off to you guys. Plug what you got out there. Sean, what's good to tell the world?
If I'm back living in my house, on Saturday, I will be doing a Q&A on my Twitch, which is twitch.tv/ShaunaC1989. So check me out on there if I'm available.
All right. Wago?
First off, for social media purposes, follow me at Steve Wago to find out about all my projects, such as Addicted to Anime. For the next episode of Addicted to Anime, which takes place right here on Mega Powers Radio, we're going to be talking about an anime which is called Higurashi, or in the American release, When They Cry. It's a horror anime. It's really fucked up and hard to explain, so look forward to that. We're also going to be introducing a new host, and we're going to be bringing some new segments in. Also, check out UDMMA whenever I get back to doing all that shit. So Facebook.com/UDMMA and Twitter.com/UDMMA for all your updates on that. Also, check out Wago Rants, which is available on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Also, check out StephenWago.com, which sometime will be updated.
All right, now let's pass it over to Tic Tac Tony.
That's a horrible name.
That's pretty terrible. That's like rootin' tootin' level.
Yeah, well, now it's sticking. So have fun with that one.
Tic-tac-tony and his tights.
Go to fanboysanonymous.com and check out what we have to say about geek culture. Go to smartoutmoment.com to check out what we have to say about wrestling that we didn't talk about tonight and all the other times that we do the Monday Night Raw post show. Go to the All Talk Show to see what we talk about all. And... I guess that's about it to round me out, but just go searching for Tony Mango and A-Mango3, you'll find a lot of stuff.
We got Tywin the Doom in the chat asking if Drew is still alive. From what I understand, Drew is currently doing some Peace Corps work. He is currently in Baltimore, and he is out there trying to help quell the current racial tensions there. we currently see how his work is doing there, so... obviously, he's not doing a very good job, so hopefully he's going to be back soon, because I don't think they're going to want to keep him there for too long. And if you enjoyed this show, folks, please join us every single Monday here. We are live on megapowersradio.com, the place to be for the most interactive post-raw experience available. We invite you to get involved in so many gosh darn different ways. We love hearing what y'all got to say. Even throughout the week, I'll tell you different ways to get involved there. But if you can't join us live on Monday nights, you can find the show archived on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, SmarkOutMoment.com, pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. If you want to chat with us throughout the week, you should join the official Facebook group. It's called The Mega Maniacs. Just go in there and search in your bar at the top for The Mega Maniacs. You should be able to find it. It's the official group for all of our projects. We have almost 200 people there at this point, so more people we can get in there, the merrier. We've been having a lot of cool debates and conversations in there lately. It's lots of fun. And like I said, it keeps the conversation going in between all the shows in case you're not getting your fix enough with all the shows you got for you. And I guess that's all the plug at this point. So until next time, for Tony Mango, for Steven Huego, for Sean Walker, and all the other people here at Mega Powers Radio, we'll see y'all next time on the Raw Post Show. Have a good night, and take care.